Thank you very much for being here today. And thank you very much for joining us. First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Milan Shama, who made this happen. I met him in New York, and he said to me, in New Jersey, actually, and he said to me, you're going to come to Brazil. And I didn't even know where Brazil is. But now I know where it is. It's on the bottom, right? And this morning, I had breakfast in Uri's house, and the breakfast was really beautiful. And thank you for all that you do, and Shasha, together, the two, what you've done to build this and make this. I'll tell you the truth, this organization, Lamala, I believe, is one of the most important things that can happen in South America, and I'm not exaggerating. I told the men before, I was once in Montreal, and there was a kollel, and they said, I don't know, we don't have so many men coming to learn at night. And somehow in the conversation, I said, oh, what do you do for women? They said, not much. I said, if you don't have women growing, you're not going to have men growing properly. The women are the key to the whole story. This Lamala and everything that it's done, and all the shiurim that you have, and all the programs that you have, and all the projects that you do, literally in 10, 20 years from now, you're going to come, Bezat Hashem, you'll invite me back to Brazil in 10 years from now, and the whole Brazil is going to be different. And you're going to say, how could it be? How are our children even better than they were before? The world is getting crazy. How are we getting better? The reason is going to be because of Lamala. So thank you very, very much for having me here today. It's an honor to be here today, and it's an honor to be part of this growing, budding, important, and incredible project that is really going to change Brazil over the next decade. Mizat Hashem, amen. And I also tell you the truth, you know, I am from New York, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm also from the same community. And there's something, Hashem has given me the opportunity in the last 3 years to go to cities all around the world. But when I get a chance to come to our community, I really feel at home. I got off the plane at about 7 o'clock this morning, 7:30 this morning, and I already feel like I am a part of this kehillah. Because there's something about our kehillah, whether it's in New York or it's in Mexico, Panama, or here in Brazil, we're one. And you could feel it, our safa is one. You know what safa? You know what safa is? The house, the environment in the house, the food, the sabusak, the kibbeh, it's all the same. And so because of that, I really mean it. I feel very much like we're one family, one community, and it's great to be here. So here's what we're going to talk about this morning. What we're going to talk about is your marriage. My goal here today, and I want you to understand how I view marriage, I think that marriage should be the most enjoyable experience in the world. A marriage should be energetic. It should be happy. It should be fun. It should be something you look forward to. You're excited about each other. When you're in a wonderful marriage, you get strength from one another, even when you're not in the same room. You're here, he's there. And yet, you're still drawing strength from each other. Right now, I feel strength from my wife. I'm here in Brazil. She's back in New York. I didn't talk to her today. Yet still, there's a strength that you get from one another. A wonderful marriage brings you simcha, brings you beracha. You feel it in every way. So that's going to be our goal. That's what we're going to try to accomplish. But here's what I don't understand. Anyone here want to answer my question? I have a question. Can I ask a question? Okay. You know what percentage means? Yes? Good. What percentage of marriages are great? Are great? 2%. Two? Two. That means 98% are not great. Great is only 2%. Okay, really, really good. What percentage of marriages are really, really good? Five? Do I have any higher bidders? Anyone? I have 10. 20. Okay. So 20% of marriages are very good. That means 80% are not. What do you say? 30%. 40. Okay. You know what? No one's going to say more than 40. 40% are very, very good. 60%, eh. Yes? Okay. So here's what I don't understand. If you told me that 60% of people feel eh about their mother, or eh about their father, or eh about their brother or sister, I understand. You know why? Because you didn't choose your father, and you didn't choose your brother, and you didn't choose your sister, and you didn't choose your mother. But here's my question. You said that 60% of marriages are eh. You chose your husband. This was your choice. No one forced you. In Brazil, do they put a gun to your head to get you married? No. You decided you want to get married to this person. You chose. So how could it be that you chose, and when you chose, you were so excited, and you were so ready, and you couldn't believe it. You tell people, you hear, I am a kala, I'm a bride. I'm a bride. You got gifts. You have swanny here. You got gifts. You got pocketbooks and things and jewelry. You were so excited. You got a beautiful gown. You had your wedding. You couldn't believe it. At your wedding, 100% of brides are excited. 100%. What happened from the wedding till now? If you chose it, what changed? That's the question we're going to try to answer this morning. Because this morning I'm going to try to give you a key that I believe most marriages are missing. If I were to ask you the key to marriage, we had good answers before. I'm going to ask another question. Can someone give me the key, the yesod, the ikar, the key to marriage? What would you say is the key to a good marriage? Anyone want to give it? You understand my question? Respect, good answer. Anyone else? Love, good answer. Attention, good answer. Give, good answer. Okay, we got good answer. I can't hear you. Okay, so we got love, respect, give, attention, work in progress. Be yourself. Okay, I agree with all of them. But that's not the missing key. I definitely agree that marriage is about love. Marriage is about respect. Marriage is constantly a work in progress. Marriage, you want to feel like you could be yourself. Your spouse definitely needs attention. All of those things are true. Marriage requires giving and constant giving. But I'll tell you the truth. If I asked every bride before they got married, are these the keys of marriage? They would agree to all of the things we just said, to love and giving and caring and attention. They'd agree to all of it. But I believe there's something most brides don't know. And that's why through the course of their marriage starts to go from being this, and then maybe first it goes even better, and then, and all of a sudden marriage is somewhere in the middle, because they don't know this one key, this one concept that makes marriage incredible. And I'm going to tell you in advance, it's going to be simple for me to say, but it is hard to do. But I am pretty confident that if two people chose each other, even if they loved each other like crazy when they got married, if they don't do this, their marriage is not great today. And if they chose each other when they got married, and they do this, then I'm very confident their marriage is really great. Unless they're married to a complete psychopath, which is complete Majnun. But other than that, if you do this, your marriage is great. Before I tell you what this key is, I'm going to read to you from the Rambam. The Rambam has laws of Ishut, laws of marriage. And most of it is about how to get married and what the Ketubah says and which ring to give and the witnesses and all of that. But in there he has two paragraphs. One is about how a husband should treat a wife, and the other paragraph is about how a wife should treat her husband. Which one would you like to hear first? How a husband should treat a wife, or a wife should treat a husband? Husband treat a wife. I knew that's what you're going to say. So I'm going to read it to you, okay? Here's what the Rambam says, how a husband should treat a wife. He has seven things. V'chen tzivu chachamim, our rabbis commanded. Number one, sheyeh adam mechabed et ishto yoter migufo. A man should respect his wife more than himself. That's number one. Number two, v'ohava kegufo. And he should love her like himself. That's number two. Respect more than himself. Love her like himself. Number three. You're going to like number three. I'm telling you, you're going to like number three. Here's number three. What are we doing? Good. Okay. Number three. You're going to like this one. Em yesh lo mamon marbe betovata kevi mamono. What does that mean? Give her all your money. We like this one. I know we like this one. I told you we're the same. In New York, we like it. In Brazil, we like it. Everywhere, we like it. Number three. It's easy for me to say. There's almost no men in the room. Number four. Velo yatil aleha ema yitera. Do not create too much fear in the house. There are some husbands that they make everyone scared. They come home Friday afternoon. Why is this not ready? Where's my shirt? Where's my suit? Shabbat is coming. You didn't light the candles. You didn't get the right food. Why didn't he take a shower yet? And then matil ema yitera. They create fear. Says the Rambam, don't do that. Number five. V'yiyeh diburo ima benachat. He should speak to his wife softly, benachat. Number six, v'lo yiyeh atzev. Don't be in a bad mood. Is this even possible? I don't know. Number seven, v'lo ragzan. And do not be angry. So again, respect your wife more than yourself. Love her like yourself. Give her all the money you have. Don't create too much fear. Speak to your wife softly. Don't be in a bad mood. And don't be angry. Out of seven, how many does your husband do? Two? Three? Depends on the day and his mood. But I have a question on this Rambam. My question is, the Rambam says, I'm supposed to respect my wife more than myself. How do I respect more than myself? I understand love like yourself. Behavta re'acha kamocha, love someone like yourself. But what does it even mean to respect more than myself? So I'm going to answer this Rambam. And the answer to this Rambam is going to be the key. The key that most wives are not paying attention to. And most husbands are not paying attention to. Most people that love each other and care about each other and give to one another still don't realize this one key. And again, right when I say, you're going to say, well, that's not a big deal. Then we're going to explain it and you're going to realize it's a big deal and it's hard to do. Here's the key. Here's what your husband wants from you. He wants to feel understood. He wants to feel like you understand him. You get him. You're with him. Man comes home from a long day of work, and there are some wives that know how to make the husband feel like, I know what you're dealing with. And then there are other wives that don't know how to show it. And what happens is, when a spouse doesn't feel understood, then the same thing to you. When you're in a marriage and you don't feel like your husband understands you and gets your needs and feels what you want and cares about what you want, you don't feel so fulfilled. The other day, someone was telling me in New York, he says, you know, marriages today, there are people getting divorced over a little smudge of toothpaste in the bathroom. I said, no, people are not getting divorced over a smudge of toothpaste in the bathroom. Here's what happens. Husband and wife get married, and the wife is very clean. And one day, the husband leaves the toothpaste open in the bathroom, and now the wife comes in, and she says, comes back, honey, it gets me nauseous. I know it's not clean when the toothpaste is in the bathroom. And he tells her, and she tells him, please don't leave the toothpaste in the bathroom. The next day, he leaves the toothpaste in the bathroom again. And she tells her, again, she tells him, please, don't leave the toothpaste in the bathroom. It bothers me. I wake up in the morning, it's not clean to me. It's not comfortable to me. And then he doesn't do it the next day. But then the day after, he leaves the toothpaste open and the toothbrush, and there's a smudge of toothpaste in the bathroom. Now, what's bothering her is not the toothpaste. What's bothering her is, don't you understand me? Don't you know what I care about? Do you care about what I care about? You know it bothers me. You don't care about what bothers me? When you don't care about what bothers me, it hurts. It's not the toothpaste. If someone else left the toothpaste, I could clean it up every morning, says the wife. If our three-year-old left toothpaste in the bathroom, I could clean it every morning. But when my husband leaves toothpaste in the bathroom, he's basically telling me he doesn't care about what I care about. He doesn't understand what I want. I'll give you another example. Sometimes you'll have a husband. Some husbands really care that dinner, supper should be ready when they come home from work. Do you understand what I'm saying? They want dinner. They have a long day. What time do men come home from work here in Sao Paulo? Seven. So now they come home 7. What time do they go to work in the morning? 8. So they're out for 11 hours. Yes? 8 to 7. Do they eat a good lunch or lunch is quick? It's quick. Yeah, we're Syrians. We work very hard. So lunch is quick. So pretty much they barely ate from 8 o'clock until 7 o'clock. They barely ate. Some husbands want to come home with dinner ready on the table. Yes? There are other husbands that don't care so much about dinner. They want their wife to look good. Some husbands, they want to come home and they want their wife to look very pretty for them. So now you have a wife and she tells her sister, I am the best wife. I did the kids' homework before my husband came home. I made sure the house was clean. I set him dinner. I did all the errands. I didn't make him pick up the milk before he came home. I did it myself. I took my kid to the doctor myself. I cleaned the whole house myself. I didn't even get an extra chadame. I did it myself. I did everything. I even had supper ready. I had 7-course meal ready for dinner. I'm the best wife. Everyone tells me I'm the best wife. I don't know why my husband's frustrated. I'll tell you why he's frustrated. He doesn't care about the kids being clean. He doesn't care about the house being clean. He cares how you look. And you look like a rag. So you did everything that you care about. You didn't do the one thing that he cares about. And that one thing that he cares about is not just about how pretty the person looks. It's about, do you care about what I care about? Are you thinking about what I'm thinking about? The husband and a wife, this is the only person in the world I chose to spend my entire life with. It's the only person that I chose to spend my entire life with. All I'm asking from that person is be with me, accept me, understand me, embrace me. And when I feel like my wife doesn't understand, or when a husband feels like his wife doesn't understand or doesn't care about what he cares about, it starts to become frustrating. The wife says, I don't understand. I take care of him. I love him. I'm there for him. I respect him. He needs this. He needs to feel like you're with him. What would you say are the top three reasons why people's marriages are not so great? What are the top three reasons? So I'll tell you in New York the top three reasons. Should I tell you the top three reasons in New York why marriages are not great? Reason number three is family. The in-laws, the brother-in-law, the mother-in-law, the sister-in-law, the Pesach, Sukkot, where are you? You're coming, you're going. That's number one. That's number three. Number two is religion. I'm religious, you're not so religious. I'm getting more religious, you're not so religious. And number one is money. Do you have the same three over here or no? Yes, you have a different three? What would you say are the reasons? You're in the front, you're the jury, tell me. The same? Pretty much the same. So let me talk about the money one. I want to talk about the money one. So a lot of people think that a husband and wife, they're fighting over money. That's not the truth. They're not fighting over money. What they're fighting over is this. What they're fighting over is, again, you don't understand. Here's what happens. The husband and the wife in the beginning of the morning says to her husband, what's going on? Says to her husband, I need to go shopping today for the kids. I need to go shopping today for the kids. What's the coin here in Brazil? What's the dollar? What's it called? Real? Real? Is it worth more than the dollar, less than the dollar? Much less? If I give you $1, how much real do I get? Six? 5.7. So you get six. About $6. So if I give you $20, I get 120 real. Good. Okay. So now, are things expensive over here? Good. So now the wife tells the husband in the morning, I have to go shopping for the kids. So the husband says, no problem. Spend 2,000 real. Make sense? Wife says, are you crazy? Do you think it's 1983? It's 2025. It doesn't cost 2,000 real. I need more. He says, okay, 3,000 real I'll give you. Is it enough? Maybe? The husband thinks it is. Yes? Good. Now what happens? The wife says, no problem, 3,000 real. Now what happens? Now the wife goes shopping. I don't know if you have this in your... I don't know if you have this thing. Do you have this that when you swipe the card, he gets a text message? The worst thing that ever happened to marriage in the world is that text message. So now, she swipes the card. He gets a message. The message says she spent 1,200 real. He's like, okay, good. We're on the same page so far. But he doesn't realize it's just 10:30 in the morning. Now he gets another message. She spent another 1,000 real. He's like, okay, we said 3,000. She spent 2,200. Then all of a sudden he gets another message. 1,500 real. Another message, 2,000 real. Another message, 1,000. He comes home that night. He says, what happened? I'm getting messages all day. And it feels like the messages basically are saying, you're laughing at me. I get gas with the movement. Can we just settle in and that's it? Had you? Excuse me? They're all good. No more moving. Thank you. We got every seat full now, so we're good. Okay? Yeah. You. Over here. Oh, perfect. Good. Now we're good. Finito. How do you say it? How do I say it in Brazil? What? Pronto means done. Haja. Good. Okay. What's really happening? Here's what's really happening. At night when the wife says, and the husband says, I don't understand. We said 3,000 rial. How'd you end up with 5,000? Here's what's happening. What he's trying to tell his wife is, do you know how hard I work? Do you know how hard I work every day? I'm in the office from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And then I take more emails at night. And I'm on the phone. And you spend it like it's nothing. You don't understand me. The way you're spending shows you don't understand what I'm going through and how hard I'm working. And then you know what the wife is saying? The wife is saying, you don't understand me. Because you don't realize I'm trying to put clothing on your kids. You want your son wearing ripped shoes? You want your daughter having one outfit? You want the kids to look good. I'm not doing it all for me. I'm doing it because this is what you want. So the husband's saying, you don't understand me. Why are you just spending as if it's nothing? You don't understand my work. And the wife is saying, you don't understand me. I'm trying so hard to make sure our family looks beautiful. You want me to be dressed nice. You want the kids to be dressed nice. I'm doing everything you want. Why don't you appreciate what I'm doing? You're complaining about the 5,000 rial. You should be thanking me. That's what a wife feels at the end of the day. You should thank me. I went shopping to 8 different stores to make sure your family is dressed well for Pesach. It's not the money. He might be able to afford the 5,000 rial. It's not the money. It's the fact that the way you spent the money shows you don't understand me. And she feels the way you treat me after I spend the money means you don't understand me. And the frustration is that when a bride and groom get married, everyone tells them love, everyone tells them care, everyone tells them respect, all those words that are true, communication, attention, but people don't tell them sit and understand her. And here's why it's hard to understand your husband. You all know it's hard to understand your husband? I want to tell you something a little true about every man. Every single man is a little weird, little mishugah. There's a little majnoon. Maybe he yells too much. Maybe he's lazy a little bit. He sits on the couch. You have bizzit over here. You have bizzit. He's bizzit and the shells fall on his shirt. And every man has a little bit of weird. Your husband is a little weird, I'm sure. And he wants you to accept that weird. I'll tell you how I was weird when I got married. Well, I'm going to tell you more stories, but I'm going to tell you one. When I got married, I was learning in Kollel, Matmid. My wife knew I learned from the morning to the night, learned Torah from 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day, besides breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I learned Torah, learned Torah. But it happens to be, I like sports. You know what sports? So I don't know what, in Brazil, I'm sure they care about soccer, right? In America, we don't care about soccer. But we care about football. That's what we call football, means throw the ball. Okay? We care about baseball, we care about basketball. And I'd come home for lunch, and I'd turn on the radio, we have no TV, I'd turn on the radio, and I'd be listening to the football. My wife, you don't understand. You're matmid, you learn all day, and now you care about the Knicks, and you care about the Giants, you care about the Yankees? I'm confused. I said, yeah, that's me. That is me. I learned Torah all day and night, but I like the Yankees. That's me. Every single person, every single man is a little weird. And frankly, every single woman is also a little strange. They have their own thing. And you need your spouse to understand it and appreciate it. In fact, I'll give you another example. I had a couple come to me a few months ago. And they were Ashkenazi couple. And they were very, 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 everything looked perfect. They were very wealthy, private jets and drivers and all that kind of stuff. They both looked like they could be on the cover of a magazine. They looked like actor and actress. They had five wonderful kids. Everything was great. They sit down in front of me. Their marriage is so bad, they want to kill themselves. They didn't say those words, but it's practically they can't breathe from how bad their marriage is. Now, if you would see them on the street, you would say, "Ooh, I wish I could be like them." Yet if you knew what their marriage was, you can't believe. So one of the things he said is, I give her all the money she needs. I give her everything she wants, everything she could want. Why is she not, what's she not happy? So I don't know if you ever heard of this thing. There's something called the five love languages. Have you ever heard of the five love languages? The five love languages are, one is, I'm not sure if I'm going to remember all of them. One of them is gifts. Another one is quality time. I think another one is words, compliments, words of affirmation. Another one is touch. And another one is services. Services. That means take out the garbage. Services. So I asked her, what are your languages? Do you care about gifts? Not really. Do you care about services? Not really. I have all the help I need. I don't care about services. You care about compliments and words? She said, not really. I said, touch? She says, whatever, not more than anyone else. I said, so what's your item? She says, quality time is my thing. Now I went to him. His thing is complimentary words. So he needs complimentary words. He doesn't need gifts. He doesn't need services. She's very good at services. He doesn't need services. That's not what talks to him. What he cares about is gifts. What he cares about, is compliments. You're married for 20 years, lady. Did you think once about that he needs compliments? So I need to make sure I'm really giving him compliments. Not because that's what I would need, because that's what he needs. And the same thing to him. She needs quality time. Oh, but I give her all the money in the world, and I give her all the gifts in the world, I give her all the services in the world. She doesn't care about services. She doesn't care about compliments. She doesn't care about gifts. She cares. I mean, everyone cares, but she doesn't care. She cares about quality time. Are you giving her what she needs? Maybe this is what the Rambam means. Respect her more than yourself means. You have to give to her more than what you think she should need. I think she should need gifts, but she needs quality time. Mechabda yote migufo means if I really respect her, I respect the fact that her need is quality time. I would need gifts, but that's not what she needs. So don't give her what you need. Kigufo. Give her what she needs. Yote migufo. More than yourself. In fact, let me tell you a beautiful thought and a beautiful idea. Listen to this chidush. This chidush itself could change your marriage. It says about Yitzchak, that by Yitzhak Yitzchak, Lasuach Vasadeh, Yitzchak came out to the field to pray. And then Rivka was coming, Me'al HaGamal. She was coming on a camel. And then what happens? She's coming, she sees Yitzchak. She covers herself. She covers herself with a veil. And she falls, me'al gamal. She falls off of the camel. What does it mean she fell off the camel? Wouldn't you think that's a unique thing? Where if God's coming on a camel, all of a sudden she falls off. And what does it mean she covered herself with a veil? We don't see anywhere else in Tanakh that they have to cover with a veil. Why is she covering with a veil and falling off the camel? What did she see that shocked her when she saw Yitzchak that she had to cover herself? So I heard this in the name of the Mechtav Meliyahu, although I didn't see it inside. It's a beautiful idea. When Eliezer came to Rivka and said, "You're going to marry Yitzchak," Rivka said, "This is perfect." You know why it's perfect? Because I am all about chesed. What did Rivka do? She went, she got the water for the camel. She got the water. She's all chesed. And Avraham Avinu is also all chesed. So she said, this is going to be a perfect match. I'm all chesed. Abraham's family is all chesed. Chesed and chesed were exactly in common. Now all of a sudden, She's coming on the camel, and she sees Yitzchak out, Lasuach Basadeh. Yitzchak is praying in the field. You know what Yitzchak's midah was? Not chesed, the opposite. Givura. And all of a sudden she says, one second. This is not what I thought it was. I thought, I'm chesed, they're chesed, perfect. It turns out I'm about to marry a man who's a man of givura. You know what she did? She put a veil over her face to say, I am now changing my expectation and changing my perspective. Vayipol, she falls, me'ala gamal. What does gamal mean? Gamal comes from the word gemilut chasadim. She says, I have to fall off of gemilut chasadim. That's no longer my thing. Because now I realize that my husband has a different midah. And I have to relate, understand, accept, and appreciate his midah. Almost every girl that gets married goes through this experience. When you get married and you get engaged, you think, wow, we have everything in common. My father knows his father. They used to be partners. Maybe they were friends 100 years ago. My grandfather was friends with his grandfather. And Halab, we're just the same. We're all the same. We go to the same school. We lived on the same block. And then all of a sudden you get married and you have nothing in common. And you're like, what happened? Should I give you my moment? Did I tell you the first time I made my wife cry? I'm married 29 years, so Baruch Hashem. I'm going to tell you the first time I made my wife cry. So I told you, I'm learning in Kollel, all good. Maybe we're married for 3 weeks. And I come home, after afternoon seder, I come home for dinner. And I said, okay, honey, is dinner ready? She wasn't working or anything. I said, is dinner ready? She says, no. I said, oh. She says, yeah, I'll probably be ready in a half hour. I said, oh, it's not ready yet? What were you doing all day? Just what were you doing? Like, I didn't mean anything bad. I just mean, like, what were you doing? Like, we don't have any kids. You don't work. What were you doing? She says, oh, I don't know. I was calling my mother. I don't know. Half hour later, dinner comes out. And she made lacham ajin. I said, honey, it's Tuesday. Why are we having lacham ajin on Tuesday? And also, by the way, don't you know me? I'm a kibbeh guy. I'm not a lacham ajin person. She says, oh, I'm sorry to know. She made these big lacham ajins, like on the pita, on the Syrian bread. Big lacham ajin. Oh, no, actually not. She made small lacham ajin. Okay. Now she pulls out the tray. She puts it on the table. Again, Hazita, she's married 3 weeks. She puts it on the table, and it's burnt. I'm like, oh, it's a little burnt, I think. I said, didn't we wait a half hour to burn it? I said, she says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, I didn't realize the time. I said, I don't know my oven, the oven's a new oven, whatever. And then, you know how if you make lacham ajin, right, the oud, it's sticky. So you have to put Pam or whatever, you have to spray the parchment paper, and then put the lacham ajin on top. We're married 3 weeks. She didn't know to spray the paper. So now I pick up the lacham ajin, and the whole paper comes with it. So now she's sitting in front of me, and now the whole paper, I can't eat the paper. So I start ripping off the paper, off the lacham ajin. And she starts hysterical crying. And I'm like, what'd I say? What'd I do? I didn't. She's like, nothing. She went running upstairs. She ran to her bed. I said, what'd I do? It took her 45 minutes. I had, you know why? Because I was such a fool. Joey Haber, you don't realize? She just got married. She's just cooking. It's her first few weeks she's cooking. She tried something new. You don't understand what she's thinking about. She's trying to make you happy. You put on all your funny faces. Why are you so late? You just belittled her whole day as if she does nothing during the entire day. Even if she did nothing. That's what you said. That's what you do. Then you comment about the fact that it's burnt. You never made a mistake in your life, Joey, either. You never did. This is me talking to myself. And now you're sitting and pulling it in front of, eat the paper rather than pull it off. There's nothing insulting about the fact that it was burnt. There's nothing insulting about the fact that I was wondering what she was doing that day. There's nothing insulting about pulling off the paper. But everything I was doing was showing that I have no idea what's on her mind. I don't understand her. I'm not thinking about her. I don't care about her. The Gemara says, Decha gutza. If your wife is short, gachin v'telchoshla. Bend down and whisper to her. What does it mean if your wife is short? How about if she's tall? What do you mean if she's short? Bend down and whisper to her. What does it mean? The answer is, here's what it means. Wherever your wife is at, meet her there. Bend down and meet her where she is. If she has a weakness, if she has something she's not so good at, maybe she's not so comfortable around your family yet, meet her over there. Maybe she's not so good cook right away, meet her over there. Maybe she's not the cleanest person as you are right away, meet her right over there. V'tilchoshla means whisper. You know what whisper is? Whisper is something you're relating to her in a way that no one else can hear. Your marriage has nothing to do with anybody else, nothing to do with what everyone else does. It's where she's at, where he's at. Meet him right there and understand him there. If you spend real time and energy, and it's hard to do, you can't do this for 10 people. You could do it for your husband. You sit there, it's only one person, you have to sit and spend. Think right now, what's he doing right this minute? What's he thinking about right this minute? When he walks into the door tonight, what's going to be on his mind? So instead of you, right when he comes in, say, by the way, you know, we have to pay this bill and I want to go away on a vacation. Right when he comes in, how was your day? What's going on in your day? Listen to him a little bit. Think about what he's thinking about a little bit. If you know that he would love a certain dessert tonight, tonight's Tuesday, he would love a certain dessert. Imagine all of a sudden you put the dessert there. When you were dating, if he loved a certain dessert, you couldn't wait to get him the dessert. Now you're married 10 years, you don't even know what he likes. Spend some time and get him that dessert. Have it waiting for him. And he'll say, what's this doing here? I can't believe you got me this pink dessert. I love this pink dessert. And you say, you know what? I know you had a long day. I know you had an important meeting today. I figured you'd be happy to see it at the end of the day. And you might say, once in the pink dessert costs $4 or whatever, the Raul thing, $500, whatever. Doesn't cost much. But it means everything. Because it means you understand him. And once you understand him, everything becomes easier. It's all he wants. Accept me how I am. Appreciate how I am. Accept me where I'm at. By the way, no one here asked me to read what the Rambam says about how a woman should treat a man. Are you ready for the list? I'm telling you from now, you're not ready. Are you ready? You ready? Okay, here we go. He's going to say a lot of things, but it pretty much basically means one thing. Here's what he says. V'chen tzivu al ha'isha. Our rabbis commanded a woman, she'tihye mechabedet et ba'ala b'yote midai. She should respect her husband more than you could imagine. V'ye aleha mora mimenu. She should be in awe of him. In awe. V'otaseh komaseh alpiv. And she should do whatever he asks. It gets better. And she should look at him kemosar, like a governor, or melech, like a king. He goes and comes when he wants. You like this? You don't like this anymore. And she distances everything that he hates. Now what this means in our terms, I didn't divide it down into numbers because it's really just one thing. Make him feel like you understand and appreciate him. There are times that your husband goes to work and he feels like a king. And then there are times that your husband goes to work and he feels like a slave. Whatever's going on, maybe there was a bad meeting, maybe there's a bad customer, maybe his boss was upset at him, maybe there's something, maybe the economy's not going so great, and he feels run down. When he walks into your house, he needs to feel lifted up. He needs to feel appreciated, respected, awed, admired, understood for what he is. When he feels that way, he feels like a king. And when he does, you have an incredible marriage. This isn't some person off the street, remember. This is the person you chose. Because you know that he has a lot of qualities that you love. And you have a lot of qualities that he loves. And you got into marriage and you said, we're going to care, and we're going to love, we're going to respect. But no one ever told you this one piece. Understand him, appreciate him, embrace him, and you will have a marriage and you will have a love that's literally like magic. I want to share with you a short little story to conclude. It's a soft story. It's a cute story. I wouldn't call it a powerful story, but it's a nice story. And it's this story that I believe is our goal. There was a man. He was 92 years old. Comes to the doctor. This is a few years ago. He comes to the doctor. And the doctor says, you broke your arm. We're going to put it in a cast. And come back on Monday morning at 9 a.m. This old man, we'll call him Ike. Mr. Ike. Ike says, I can't come back, doctor. I can't come back 9 o'clock on Monday morning. So the doctor says to Ike, why can't you come back 9 o'clock on Monday morning? He says, because that's the time I visit my wife every day. He says, you visit your wife? What does that mean? He says, yeah, my wife is in an old age home. And I visit her every day. He says, oh, she's in an old age home. Why is she not home with you? He says, she's not home with me because she had Alzheimer's for the last 10 years. So she needs extra care. So she's in an old age home. She says, oh, your wife has Alzheimer's. Does she know what's going on? The doctor asks Ike. Ike says, no, she doesn't know what's going on. So then the doctor asks Ike, does she know even who you are? Ike says, no, she doesn't know who I am anymore. So the doctor says, so then why do you go every single day if she doesn't even know who you are? And Ike's answer, I think, is very soft and beautiful. He says, I go every day, not because she knows who I am, but because I know who she is. That's all your husband wants. He wants to know that you know who he is. And the only thing you want is you want him to know who you are. And if in your secrets and your whispers and those things, the strange parts of you and the weirdness that you have that the world never sees, the world thinks you're so pretty and normal and regular, but inside the little funny things you do or think or worry about, the things you're insecure about, the things that are on your mind, when you could share it with each other and you could appreciate one another in that way, then your marriage will be part of the 40%, the 20%, the 5%, even part of the 2% of marriages that are incredible, marriages that are great. Because when a husband and wife understand each other, their relationship is magic. Thank you.